Blog Talk Radio.
You're the god of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
Radio, Gossiping the Gospel with Mike and Pam Matthews. We're excited to be on for this short 15-minute segment to discuss with you who are our cloud of witnesses. And let's pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to share your gospel, to share the reality of who our cloud of witnesses really are. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified as we're edified. Lord, go through this radio program and use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome again to Gossiping the Gospel with Mike and Pam Matthews. We are going to be talking a little bit about our cloud of witnesses. And let's start, Pam, if you would read from the Message Bible. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit.
And Eugene Peterson, who's the author of the Message Bible, states that our cloud of witnesses are people who have died and went on, and they're up in heaven cheering us on now. And that's a great message for all of us, because I need to be cheered on. I recall running track in high school and found out when I could hear voices in the bleachers cheering me on, it was amazing how much faster I ran and placed in the meet versus just letting thoughts in my mind go by. And so that's exactly what the Apostle Paul, when he writes Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, means. Let's read the entire passage now. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us set aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And there's two subjects in this particular passage that are being described. Number one, it's the cloud of witnesses. And number two, it's the author and finisher of our faith, who is Jesus Christ. And so we're told that we ought to look and examine the cloud of witnesses that we have. Now, most people, when they look at this, think of our cloud of witnesses being the biblical characters that are written about, such as a Moses or David or Daniel or Jonah, the Apostle Paul even. But the reality is, this also includes our contemporaries, meaning people who have died maybe last year, last month, who are now in heaven cheering us on. They have set before us an example, and they are witnesses of the author and finisher of our faith. So when you think about a witness, it's important to understand. When you think of a witness, it's really someone who testifies against the person that's being accused. And so I have all kinds of people on earth that are sometimes poking fun of me, thinking I'm doing the wrong thing, accusing me. There's all kinds of them. But when people that go to heaven become my witness, they cross over the line and become the person who cheers me on. Pam, what does it say again? The very first part of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on?
Cheering us on. I want to be cheered on. You see, the important part of this is, without a witness, there is no trial. Without a witness, there is no verdict. And so witnesses are powerful people who are called to testify on behalf of someone. And so when I can step back and stop looking at my earthly accusers, I can suddenly be reminded of all the great saints I know personally as friends or family members who are up in heaven cheering me on. What a glorious opportunity that presents to each of us. That, again, without a witness, there's no verdict. And I want, all of a sudden in my life, age 48, I want my crowd of witnesses who are now greater than the crowd on earth accusing me to out-cheer those here. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across. Please focus on your great cloud of witnesses because they're going to cheer you on. And we're bringing this message to you in preparation for next week. We're going to have some wonderful guests on the show, Dave and Tina Wagner, who are going to testify of a vision that they had that relates to the cloud of witnesses in their particular life. And you're going to be so amazed at what they share. But this week, we're just going to spend a few minutes discussing, real to the point, who are our cloud of witnesses? So as I stated, there are, of course, people in the Bible who have went on before us, but also there are contemporaries. They're friends of mine, they're relatives of mine, and God wants me to start seeing them for who they really are. That's my cheerleaders up there. That's my bleachers full of people who are my witness that Mike isn't as bad as humanity makes him sound to be. In fact, they want me to see that they too went on before me, and I need to be encouraged by that. So we take a look at these witnesses, for instance, and we can go into Scripture and see all kinds of examples of the people who have served as a witness. In fact, many people are confused by, why would the only unpardonable sin be blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And the answer, I believe, is simply this, is that the Holy Spirit is a witness of Jesus Christ. And when you go into the court of law, for instance, you can't accuse the witness because the witness isn't on trial. And so, in fact, the judge will slam down the gavel and say, in contempt, or the opposing attorney will say, overruled, or conjecture, or some other term used to say, you can't do that. You're accusing the witness. And that's why you can't accuse the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was the one on trial. But the great news is he became the victor for us. And he wants us to understand our great cloud of witnesses are available to us. And I can tell you that, you know, there was a day maybe 2 years ago that this whole thing became a reality to me. I was walking and praying at the same time, which I usually do in the morning, and suddenly I had this great sense of God speaking to me as if he was trying to get my attention to go somewhere. It was almost like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts talking about that he felt called to go to Macedonia. And I felt called to go somewhere, and I just felt, no, I don't want to go there. And all of a sudden, the Lord, I felt, speak to me and say, Mike, your cloud of witnesses are cheering you on to go. And I started weeping as it came over me, and I started seeing visions of people within my family, relatives who had died and went to be with the Lord already, or maybe didn't go to be the Lord. They were crying for me to go and testify of God in a particular city that was desperate for a move of God. And suddenly God showed me the images of the people that were doing this, and I walked in the house and shared it with Pam, and I couldn't believe what just took place. I could literally see my cloud of witnesses that were cheering me on. And ever since Pam and I have sort of grabbed hold of this passage, our life has never been the same in a way. And this was maybe 2 years ago, because now we're starting to view things from an eternal perspective where we have greater crowds of witnesses in heaven than the crowd of witnesses here on earth. And we're no different than people that go to court. There's some good witnesses and there's some bad witnesses. Good witnesses are those who testify on your behalf. Bad witnesses are those who are testifying on your enemy's behalf. And so now we see the scales slanted in our favor now that we've seen our cloud of witnesses for who they really are, our friends who are gone on before us, dear friends who know exactly who we are, and they testify on behalf of us. And they have now become greater than those who are testifying against us on earth through the use of the enemy and other circumstances. So we're just so pleased that God has chosen to give us a great cloud of witnesses. Now, many of you may be saying, wow, this is something new to me. I've never been taught this before. But if you actually go and look in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, we find that there was a rich man in Lazarus. The rich man was the person who really never paid attention to things and didn't help out the man named Lazarus. And Lazarus was full of sores and tormented day and night, and the rich man never paid attention. And it says in Scripture, again, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, that the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to be in Abraham's bosom, is what the Scripture says. And while they're there, guess what? The rich man cries out to Abraham and saying, Abraham, please help me. I am burning day and night. Could you send Lazarus just a tip to wet something so I won't burn so much anymore? And Abraham says, I don't know what I can do. There's a gulf between you now and the rich man. You had your day on earth, and now Lazarus has his day in heaven. So guess what? The rich man decides that I'm going to ask Abraham. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Abraham if he'll send some prophets to my brother's house so they don't end up where I ended up. And sure enough, he asked them, would somebody go? And Abraham told him the truth, I can't do it. But the truth of what the matter was is that when people die and they go somewhere, they become a witness, because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So even this particular person was witnessing of the glory of God in trying to spare people's lives. And that's exactly what I felt that morning I was walking, that even some relatives that may not have made it to heaven were crying out and saying, Lord, can't you send somebody to my nephew's house? Can't you send someone to my son or daughter's house? And God begins in our day, in our generation, to start sending people everywhere. And again, we're so pleased that God himself is starting to reveal who our cloud of witnesses are. And so we're going to see great things in the future about visions and dreams that God is bringing forth by his glory as we come closer to his return for his church. And in fact, that's why we read in the New Testament that no eye hath seen nor ear heard the great things God has prepared for those who love the Lord. And so as we look in John chapter 17, verse 1 through 4, it talks about the transfiguration, where Jesus brings a couple of his disciples, and suddenly they see a vision. And in the vision, they see that Moses and Elijah have come down and visited with Jesus. But what they see, if you read that passage, again, John chapter 4, says that you will actually, or that there was a bright cloud that shone upon them, almost like a devastating light that beamed down that allowed them to see the vision of almost their cloud of witnesses. Moses is part of the cloud of witnesses. Elijah is part of the cloud of witnesses. And suddenly they see them. And that's no different. I mean, imagine if God says that greater works than these shall we do than Jesus did. He said it through Jesus. We're going to start seeing that it's all unbelievable. And that's what you're going to hear next week. You're going to hear of a testimony of someone who saw a vision that refers specifically to what we're talking about this week. So again, this week, it's just a 15-minute clip to help prepare you for next week hearing one of the most powerful testimonies I've heard of in years about two people, Dave and Tina Wagner, who testify and are great witnesses for the Lord in what he did in and through their life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to talk about the cloud of witnesses. We thank you that you, in your grace and your mercy, want us to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you choose to do that through witnesses, the people who would testify of your goodness. And they're the people that are in the throne room at this very hour cheering us on. We thank you now. We give you the praise and the glory as you draw people nigh unto Jesus. In your precious name, amen.